Good morning. Well, that was terrible. Paul, could you tell them all to be quiet back there, please? Straighten them out back there. Yeah. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All righty. We've got several things going on today and several announcements that I need everybody to pay attention to, please. Today, if you didn't know, is the fifth Sunday, the months that we have five Sundays, we're going to have Missions and Youth Sunday. When it's just a regular month, we're just doing Missions Sunday, the last Sunday of the month. But this is the fifth Sunday, so we're going to do Youth and Missions today. So I'll have the kids up front here today, and that's kind of cool because we got some extra kids this morning, so that works out great. If you have your bulletin, you notice you had a bulletin insert. You should have received a white paper, too, in your bulletin. Men, I don't think you really need to pay attention to that unless your wife wants you to. But Giggles has a lot of announcements and news in there. This coming Thursday, they're having a special meeting. They're hosting a surprise baby shower. That is a surprise baby shower for Kendra's new little grandbaby that's coming. And everything's still healthy? Mama's healthy? Baby's healthy? Good. Wonderful. Everything's still on schedule then for the end of September? Is that when she's due? Nice. So read the news there from Giggles. They're having a baby shower. We're really asking all the ladies of the church, even if you haven't been coming to Giggles for one reason or another, if you can make it, please make it. This is a wonderful ministry and a wonderful opportunity to love a family, support a family, and just let them know that we love them and care for them. And Kendra's making it a secret, and she's going to get the mama there right on Thursday. So it should all work out. So that's Giggles. And then Susie's letting you know there in the newsletter when your next meeting was. I think after this, starting now, you're going to meet once a month instead of twice a month and go from there. Men, since fall's coming, we're going to start having some men's breakfasts. You'll see that in the bulletin in the future. Team meeting, we do have one team meeting this Wednesday, if we can get everybody together. That'll be Wednesday night, September 2nd at 6:30 p.m. For the finance team. And our church picnic is finally coming up. September 20th, Sunday, September 20th, we're going to have, Jonathan Cole is going to host us at his new house. If you don't know, his new house was Ernie Tinkey's old house. That's where he lives now. If you know, what's that? Yeah, that my kids love that picture. Again, thank you, Jonathan. Hey, everyone has a talent. So do I. But church picnic, September 20th. Mark that on your calendar because there will be nothing here at the church building. Everything will be over at Jonathan Cole's house. If you don't know where he lives, I'll have his address. We'll have his address in next week's bulletin. We'll put it on the big screen. And if you still can't figure it out, you can talk to Jonathan. He'll give you directions, but it's pretty easy to find his place. We're going to have fun. We're going to have church service outside at 10:30. If it's cool enough, Jonathan said we can have a little campfire while we're having church. We'll have food like we normally do. And we're asking everybody to bring a couple dishes. We'll have some games set up. We'll have some cornhole and some other things set up. If we can get it worked out, Jonathan said we're allowed to bring a couple go-karts to his house. So kids, if you want to ride some go-karts that Sunday after during the picnic, we're going to do some go-kart riding. Jonathan said it was okay. So plan on coming to church picnic. It should be fun, and especially it's a great opportunity to bring friends or family that don't go to church anywhere or just want to spend the day with you. It's a fun opportunity to introduce them to your church family. We do have one birthday this week, Friday. Nancy Wiseman, she's a good friend of the church. They come here three, four times a year, it seems like, when it's not Corona time. But Nancy Wiseman has a birthday coming up this Friday. So if you'd like to send her a birthday card or a text this week, She has a birthday on Friday. I don't have any other birthdays this week. Does anybody want to fess up to one? I always look at the Maddoxes because they never fess up, but I think I have all your birthdays. So, all right, I need all the kids up here real quick for missions time. Joe, did you get rid of your extra one? If any kid, you got, any kid didn't bring change or forgot change, Joe's got an extra one. Jaden, why don't you go get the extra one from Joe? He's got an extra one for you. I asked Joe where he gets all this change he brings all the time. He said he gets it out of these wrecked cars that he gets. All he said they're loaded with change. So thank you, wrecked cars. Jesus appreciates it. So, all right, kids, let's collect our missions money. Dump it in. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Oh, those cars were loaded. I know. I'll come back to you. Man, this thing's getting heavy. Heavy. Nice. What'd you do for your money this week, Jeremiah? Did you mow the lawn? Clean a swimming pool?
Well, we always
feed the alligators? All right. This one's heavy. Who can carry a heavy thing? Hagen, can you carry heavy? Are you strong? Can you take this over to Jen? Right there. Can you take that to Jen, please? Thank you. And she'll make sure it gets to Stephen. So, okay, real quick, I want to talk to the adults a little bit again about missions, but I need you guys to listen, all right? Who can tell me what a missionary is? I know you've been told this before. What's a missionary? What does a missionary do? Does a missionary play football?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes. Does a missionary rake leaves? Sometimes, right? Does a missionary teach? Usually, yeah. What's the main goal of a missionary?
To teach people about Jesus.
Teach people about Jesus. And we can do that in lots and lots of different ways. We support several different missions. And that's what I want to tell the adults. There are some people that weren't here last month that didn't get to hear this. So I want to, if there's any confusion, our missions team met a month or two ago, and we were not able to have our faith promise because of the corona this week. We were going to have ACT come and do a big faith promise kickoff. We're just encouraging everybody till the end of the year, till the end of 2020, to just give whatever you wanted to give to missions for this year. Whatever. We didn't collect promises or anything like that. But hopefully everybody got a green sheet. If you did not get a green sheet, they're down there in the lobby next to the bulletins. That shows what the mission team decided for the rest of the year, the missionaries that we are supporting, and the percentage of our missions offering that we're giving those. So like if we get $100 for missions, 30% of it's going to go to Round Lake. Their reasoning behind that was Round Lake was really hurting this year because of not having church camp and stuff like that. And then you'll see all the other percentages there. Those percentages will change after the first of the year. The first of the year will have probably all of these, I'm guessing, will still be our missionaries. They're looking to add at least one more missionary. They're wanting to add a Bible college for us to support because Bible colleges are teaching and raising up new church leaders. But we'll put out a new one of these the first of the year, and we will have a faith promise Sunday, hopefully. We're going to invite ACT back again, see if they can bring some college students with them and do a faith promise with us in January, hopefully. We'll be talking to them. So that's what we're doing for missions in 2020. If anybody had any questions about it or where your money was going, continue. If you want to give to Faith Promise, just on your check or on your envelope, just designate it to missions or to Faith Promise. Warren will know what you're talking about. Stephen Brain is actually going to be our new missions check writer. So whatever missions money comes in, Stephen Brain's taking care of that, and he'll be writing checks out to all of our missionaries. So you got all that, kids? You know where all your money's going now? Ask Mom and Dad. They've got the papers, okay? And don't be afraid to ask Mom and Dad what some of those missionaries do. All right? They all do different things, and they all do it for who? For Jesus, right. All right. So I'm going to have you guys back up here a little later in the service, but I just wanted to talk about missions for a second. Can I pray for you, though, and pray for the rest of our service? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the youth of our church. Father, they just bring a lot of excitement. They bring a lot of joy, and they bring a lot of newness to what we do here in church, Father. Lord, I thank you for them. Some of them have started school already. Some of them are getting ready to start school in the next week or two. And Lord, I just ask for your protection over these kids. I ask that you'll protect them physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, Father, and prepare them, grow them when they are in, whether they are in the classroom physically or they're working on their studies online. Father, I pray that you would grow these kids, grow them in maturity, but also, Father, grow them spiritually, that they would grow up to be young men and women who would choose to love you, follow you, and want to serve you for the rest of their days. Father, we ask your blessing over our worship service this morning. We ask that you would partake in it, Father. You are our invited guest this morning. I pray that everything we do would be a blessing to you, Father. The songs that we sing, as we listen to your word, our attention we give to you, Father, would bring honor and glory to your name. Again, we thank you for these kids, and we honor them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I think I need everybody to sit down. And who's doing it? Grady's doing our scripture reading. You guys can go sit down back with Grandma and Grandpa or Moms and Dads or Joes or whoever you want to sit by.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalms 99, verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy.
Grady, I'm impressed. You did that from memory. That was wonderful. Thank you, thank you. And Natalie's going to help us out this morning. It's a good thing. If you'd like to stand, please do so now.
Blessed be your glorious name. Thank you. Good morning. While many may agree that there are certain words to describe the year of 2020, I do not believe that there is a single word that can describe this year. Through this year of adversity, however, there is one word that has easily stuck out to me: affliction. Being a graduate of the class of 2020, I, like many other graduates, was ready for the next chapter of my life. Not knowing what was on the next page, however, I still don't know if it is what this year would become is ideal. Admittedly, while I was not a huge fan of the pity party for the class of 2020, I stand here today wishing certain things had played out differently. Nonetheless, this year, full of affliction, is not an unfamiliar concept within Scripture. For this moment, I would like to focus on Genesis chapters 20 through 23. Let's first look at the context. In chapters 20 and 21, Abraham settles in the land of Negev under King Abimelech. Cloaking their identities, Abraham and his wife Sarah refer to themselves as siblings in order to blend in with the culture. Shortly following, King Abimelech takes Sarah to be his own. In addition to Abraham's misfortune, his will and joy is cut even more short by three more troubling incidents: the rivalry between Isaac and Ishmael, the command to sacrifice his son, and eventually the death of his wife Sarah. All of his life, Abraham awaited the birth of his child and fulfillment of his wills and wishes, but his joy and laughter quickly turned into affliction and sorrow. While not the exact same experience, we can too relate to this. Through this, we can see such a way in which God works out promises through the lives of his people. Pain and affliction are typically a channel through which divine blessings flow. For it is pain and suffering and affliction that bring us to trust the Lord to an even greater degree than before. Adversity is the key element through which emptiness and things of the world become crystal clear. Suffering is God's way of drawing us near to himself. Certainly it was through supreme pain and affliction that the fulfillment of God's will came about. Most of us that are sitting here today are parents. Likewise, many of you are probably familiar with the term tough love. This is more or less the mentality of, this hurts me more than it hurts you. When you think back to a time that you applied this principle to your child, you remember that you did this with the intention to better the individual you disciplined. Likewise, it is through God's tough love that we are able to surpass adversity and affliction. For it wasn't through some massive military campaign or conquest that ultimately satisfies God's will, but pain and affliction from a cross. And that's what we ought to remember during this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to gather here today in your house with your presence. We ask that during this time you would consecrate our hearts and souls and remember what these emblems represent. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
way you go, different, different. Show me that you will know, different, different. Show me the way you go, different, different. Show me that you will know, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. I wanna hold that peace for you, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. I wanna hold that peace for you. In the field, watching both of my sheep. With my slaves and my crew, just like little buggies. I went down the battle in the giant's plan. With one shot, I knocked him in a garbage can. Different, different. Show me the way of the different, different. So long that you will know. Different, different. Show me the way of the different, different. Show me the way of the different, different. I'm gonna hold that peace for you. Ah ooh, ah ooh. I'm gonna hold that peace for you. I'm not the lift for liberty. I'm king and I'm the order I see. But nothing will set you apart. And
money, not power.
Why you do different, different? Someone that you wanna know. Ah ooh, ah ooh. I wanna hold that peace for you. Ah ooh, ah ooh. I wanna hold that peace for you. Different. Show me the way you do different, different. Someone that you wanna know. Different, different. Someone the way you do different, different. Someone that you wanna know. Ah ooh, ah ooh, I wanna hold that peace for you. Ah ooh, ah ooh, I wanna hold that peace for you. Thank you, man.
All right, Jeremiah, you can stay up here with me if you want. I need all the kids to come on up. Landon, you finally graduated. Junior church, anyway. All right. You want to release all the kids from the nursery there? You guys can have a seat. Get comfortable if you want to. Oh, it's nice to see brother and sister loving each other. Grady, you are just the prime example of brotherly love, aren't you? Adelie says, huh? Are they coming, Jess? All right. Is that the last one? All right. Hagen, you want to come on up? You're welcome to. All right. All right. All right. You guys can sit, stand. What, are you more comfortable sitting or standing? Whatever. Jaden, come on up so you can listen. All right. How many of you, some of you have started school. How many have started school already? Hagen, have you started school yet? You've started school? Kindergarten? Oh, my goodness. Jaden started school already. Everybody else still waiting? Everybody still waiting? You're waiting a little bit. You go after Labor Day, correct? All you guys go after Labor Day. All right, so a couple have started. Have you started yet?
I'm starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay. All right, so we got some people in kindergarten. We got Jaden's in first grade. What grade?
Third
grade. Jeremiah's in
kindergarten.
Harlow. Preschool, Grady.
Sixth grade.
Oh, are you serious? Did you like skip a couple grades or sixth grade? Wow, I didn't know that one. Adelie?
Eighth grade,
holy cow. And then we've got a couple, I know a couple, Emily Morrison, she's with her mom today. She's a freshman in high school. Reese is a senior in high school. He's already started. Landon's in... Eighth? Ninth? Man, these kids grow so fast. High school. Gavin's a freshman in college now. And Joelle just started her senior year at college at OSU. So, and Brooke. Brooke Morrison is in fifth grade, I believe. She's in fifth grade. Is she a year behind you, Grady? I think she's in fifth grade. So we got a lot of kids, a lot of different... What I always found interesting about starting school... especially kindergarten, what do mom and dad want you to do so badly the first 5 years of your life? They want you to do two things. For the first 5 years, they try to get you to stand up, talk. Usually when you're about 1 year old, maybe a little after 1 year old, you start standing up and you're wobbly on your feet. And mom and dad just get so excited when you start walking, right? And most of your moms and dads remember when you started walking. And then they want you to start running and they get so excited. They spend the first 5 years of your life getting you to stand up, walk, and then eventually running. And what else does mom and dad want you to do the first 5 years of your life? Talking? Yeah, they teach you how to talk, how to speak, how to say things. They say, oh, say mama, say dada. Yeah, you know, they have a big fight over that, what your first words are going to be. My mom claims my first words were French fries. True story. And they want you to talk. How many of you speak English? Jeremiah, you don't speak English? What language do you speak? Vulcan? Transformers?
I speak Power Ranger.
You speak Power Ranger? What do you speak?
English,
that's what I speak. Anybody speak any other language? Some kids, Joel speaks Spanish. Reese, supposed to speak Spanish. All right. But what happens, so mom and dad get you to speak and they get you to talk so they can understand you and you can understand them. And they get so excited when you're walking and talking and running. And then you go to kindergarten. And what's the first thing the teacher says? Sit down and be quiet. You just spent 5 years learning how to run around and talk, and you go to school, and the teacher says, sit down and be quiet. I always found that funny. Why does the teacher want you to sit down and be quiet?
Because
they want you to be good, right? If we're not good listeners and we're not being good in class, are we going to learn anything?
No.
So this morning, I want to talk about being good. How many of you would say that you're a good kid? Would you say you're a good kid? Adelie's kind of struggling with putting her hand up there. What would mom and dad say? Are you a good kid? Yeah? 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 Adelie's still struggling over there. Are you in trouble, Adelie? She's just being the honest one. All right. Hagen, are you a good boy? Yeah? Would mommy say you're a good boy? What about Grandpa Paul? He said no. I want to talk to you very briefly, and I'm going to ask the moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas and everybody else to listen to what Jesus says about being good. All right? We're going to do this quick. All right? But I want you to really pay attention. I'm going to say what the kindergartner's teacher says. Sit down and be quiet and listen. Especially Adelie, because she's not very good, apparently. All right? Mark chapter 7, Jesus is going to go somewhere, and this rich man is going to run up to Jesus. Okay? How many of you are rich? Jane, you're rich? All right, yeah, you just had a birthday. You have more money than I do right now. All right. But Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 17, a rich man is going to come up and ask Jesus a very important question. And Jesus is going to kind of have a funny answer, or an answer that we're not going to expect. And it has to do with being good. All right? Everybody listening? Transformers? All right. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So this rich man comes up to Jesus, and he calls Jesus what? Good teacher. And what question does he ask him? What must I do to what? I know you guys were all listening. Grady, what did he ask him? Yes, very good. What must I do to have eternal life or go to heaven, all right, and live forever? Jesus gives this answer. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered him. Listen, this is important. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Where do those commandments come from? The Ten Commandments, right? Jesus is talking about the Ten Commandments. You know how to be good. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. So the rich man's telling Jesus, I've kept all those commandments since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Jesus said to him, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So I want to talk about a couple things, all right? First of all, raise your hand if you told me that you are good. Get that out of your mouth, all right? What does Jesus say about all of us being good? Do you think any of these moms and dads or grown-ups out here are good? Not according to what Jesus said, did he? What did Jesus say? He said, why do you call me good? Nobody is good except who?
Jesus.
Except God, the Father. No one is good except God, which Jesus is a part of God, right? But Jesus was in human form then. He's telling the guy, nobody is good except God. So, does that mean we're bad people?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that we're bad. Does it mean that we're evil people? No, but raise your hand if you've ever done something wrong. If you've ever lied, cheated, steal, not listened to the teacher or the bus driver, or you hit your brother, or, yeah, Jade, get your hand way up there, buddy.
Yeah.
We've all done stuff wrong. And if I asked all these adults if they did something wrong just this week, every one of them would have to raise their hands. All right? So if none of us are good people, Jesus says that means God's the only person, only one who is good. So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the goodness of God and what makes us good. Okay? What makes God good? Jesus said, no one is good except for God. What are some things that make God good? How does God define himself? Does God say, I am beautiful, I am lovely, I am rich, I have all the answers? How does God describe himself? He says, I am...
That sounds like Joel.
Sounds like Joel? No. Do you remember how Jesus describes God? God is love. Would that make God good? God is all loving. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've hurt God, does he love you? He may not always be happy with you. He may have to discipline you, but does he always love you? Even if you run away from God, does he still love you? Yes, that makes him very good. What else makes God good? Does God forgive? Yeah. Have you guys ever had to forgive somebody? Grady, who have you had to forgive? Your sisters, do they have to forgive you a lot? Yeah. Jaden, who have you had to forgive?
The bed.
The bed. Okay, you're being goofy. Grady, without dishing a lot of dirt, what's one thing that you had to forgive your sisters for?
Hitting me.
For hitting you. Okay. All right, it happens. I had a brother. I hit him all the time. All right. But the difference between you and God, you did forgive your sisters, right? But you remembered what they did to you, didn't you? They hit you. God says, when I forgive you, I forget about it. I don't even remember it. It's like it didn't even happen. That's huge, isn't it? So when you go before God and he has forgiven you, he doesn't even remember that you've ever done anything wrong because he's forgiven you and he's removed that sin because of Jesus. That's called grace. Receiving something we don't deserve. Do any of us deserve to be forgiven by God? No, we don't. But does he forgive us anyway?
Yes.
And he says, not only do I forgive you, I forget about your sin. So that's something that makes God good. How many of you got to eat breakfast this morning? How many of you slept in a bed last night and was comfortable? How many of you are wearing clothes today? Where do all those things come from? God, Jesus, yes. He gives us everything we need to live on earth, doesn't he? Does that make him good? Yes. God is good in himself. He needs nothing. All right? He wants things. What's the number one thing God wants?
Us to love each other.
You. Yes. He wants you to love each other because he wants you. He wants to spend eternity with you. You are created by God to be loved. And that's what makes God good. Is there any evil in God's heart? No. Is there anything that any reason he wants to hurt you? No. Now, sometimes when somebody hurts us, do we want to hurt them back? Yeah, see, that makes us not so good. All right? Sometimes do we want to not do our homework? That makes us not so good. Is there times we don't want to listen to our parents?
No.
Sometimes that just makes us not so good. All right? But we got a problem here. If we're not good, how do we get to heaven? Anybody have an answer for that? Because I thought only good people go to heaven. What does Jesus say about that? If nobody's good, how do we get to go to heaven? Because going to heaven has nothing to do with you being good. It has to do with what Jesus did for you. All right? God knows that we're going to sin. And God wants you to be the best people you can be. All right? He wants you to do good things. He wants you to love people. He wants you to take care of people. He wants you to listen in church. Right, Jaden? And he wants you to take care of your brothers and sisters, your moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and so forth. He wants you to serve people. But is there enough good things we can do to get to heaven? No. Jesus said there was a problem, though, with this guy. He said, I've kept all the commandments. I'm good. I've done everything you've asked, Jesus. Why can't I enter heaven? What did Jesus tell this guy he had to do? Do you remember? Yeah. This was a very rich man. He said, in order to inherit eternal life, I want you to go sell everything you have, come back to me and follow me. Now, why do you think Jesus asked him to go sell everything? He hasn't asked me to sell everything. He hasn't maybe asked some of you to sell everything. Why did you think he asked this guy to sell everything he owned? There was something separating this man from his relationship with God. What do you think that was? If Jesus wanted him to sell everything. His money and his stuff. His stuff, Jesus, does Jesus know your heart? He knows everything about you. He knows what's in your heart. Jesus knew that to this guy, his money and his stuff was more important to him than God was. And that was a barrier that stopped him. So Jesus said, hey, get rid of all that stuff so then you can come follow me. For other people, it's not stuff. It's a relationship with a person. If Adelie's more important to me and I spend all my time with Adelie and do everything with Adelie and I love her more than God, is that a problem? Yeah. So should I knock it off my relationship with Adelie for a while, not be friends with her? Yeah. If it's bothering me from having a relationship with God, or if I just love baseball so much and baseball takes up all my time and I'm consumed with it and that's all I think about and I think about baseball more than I do Jesus, is that a problem? Yeah. Jesus says, well, get rid of baseball and focus on me. There can be many, many things that are more important to us than God. All right? And adults get that. They get that wrong too. I get that wrong too sometimes too. Things get more important to me or I get too busy and I forget about working on my relationship with God. So, what Jesus is saying is, are any of you ugly in the sight of God?
No.
Are any of you bad in the sight of God? No. He's just saying, Nobody's good. I know that you're going to sin. I know you have things that are more important to you sometimes. But Jesus says, I got something I want you to work on. Get rid of whatever it is that you focus more time on than you do with Jesus. And come follow me and come serve with me and come love people with me. What's one way that you guys show love to people and serve people? You guys ever think about that or do it on purpose? You did one thing today. What's one thing you always all came up here at the beginning of church and did together? You gave money to missions. That's loving people. That's taking care of people. That's praying for people, right? What else you guys do to love people and to serve people? Do you listen? Do you obey people that Jesus has put in your life to show you instruction? Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, teachers, Sunday school teachers. These are people God gives you that are very important to listen to, because they will have it, they want what's very best for you. If mom and dad says, don't run in that road right now, should you run into the road? Yeah, no. But what if there's ice cream on the other side of the road? Yeah, I know you would. What if there's a hamburger on the other side of the road? What if there's a brand new bicycle on the other side of the road? Yeah, we would love to do that. But if mom or dad says, don't go on that road, why do you think they don't want you to cross the road?
Because they don't want you to hit.
Right, there's probably a car coming. And if we do it, and we get distracted, what's going to happen to us? We're going to get hurt. You're right. That's why Jesus gives us instructions to do things and not do things. He doesn't want us to get hurt. He wants us to focus on God, and love people. Does that make sense? Does that make sense about why God is good and we're not? Does that make God love us any less? No, in fact, I think it makes God love us even more. That sounds crazy, but we serve a God that doesn't go with the way of the world. All right? He loves you no matter what. But he wants you to do good things. He wants you to be good people. But he knows that we're all going to mess up. Did anybody mess up this week? I did. Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
You're doing it right now.
No,
all right? But God says, I love you anyway. I want to forgive you. And what did we just say is the cool thing about how God forgives? He forgets, doesn't he? He doesn't even remember. Just like Grady remembers when his sisters hit him. And I'm sure Adelie remembers when Grady hits her, right? But does Jesus? Does God? No. So when you go and we pray before God, when he's forgiven you, you're like a perfect person in him. And when you give your life to Jesus, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit grows us and matures us in him so that we don't want to do those things anymore. We only want to do things that please God. Does that make sense? So how do we inherit eternal life? Get rid of everything in our life that's more important than Jesus and focus on who? Jesus, right, God. Give all our attention, all our love, all our focus on him and serving him. Does that make sense? All right, can you guys stand up? And I'd like to pray for you. And then I'm going to talk to the adults for just a minute. All right. Don't forget, we got all these kids. We got Hagen, who started kindergarten. Yeah. And we got first graders. We've got high schoolers. We've got a couple college students. Just to update on Joelle, I said she's a senior. She's also started her internship in Columbus. So please be praying for that. She's really excited about that. But I want to pray for all of you guys, from our preschool kids all the way to our college kids, that God would give you a good year this year. Father God, I thank you so much again for these kids. And Father, I just pray that you would give them a fantastic school year, a year where they will learn no matter where they are, whether they're at home, whether they are in a classroom with a teacher, wherever they are, I pray that you would open their hearts and open their minds to learn what their teachers want to teach them this year. And Father, I ask a blessing over our teachers and our school workers and our bus drivers this year, that they will have a fantastic year serving and teaching the kids that they love. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would have the ability to remove anything in our life that comes between us and you. Anything that we choose to love more than we love you, Father. We know that you are a forgiving God, that you are a God that offers grace that we don't fully understand and probably won't, Father, till we're in your presence forever. But, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. And, Lord, I ask that you would teach us and continue to grow us in forgiving one another and loving one another, that we would all grow up to be men and women who would serve you and you only, not the things of this world. Again, Father, we thank you for these kids, and we thank you for their joy and just the happiness they bring to our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you guys can go sit down. I just want to remind the adults that all that stuff applies to us, especially the story of the rich man. Those are tough words to hear. When you ask Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, I want you to go sell everything and then come follow me. And I truly don't believe that Jesus is asking all of us to sell everything. But if there's stuff in your life, if there's stuff or money or whatever, a relationship or a game or whatever it is in your life that you find you're spending more time on, working on, or trying to gain, more than you're trying to gain and work on your relationship with God and loving people, yeah, we need to rid ourselves of that. And what a joy it is to know that we don't have to be good enough. Like we just talked to the kids. God already told us we're not good. Nobody's good except him. So you don't have to worry about being good enough. You're already loved in the eyes of God. You're already good enough because he created you. You were created by a good God who made you exactly the way he wants you. He gave you the gifts that he wanted you to have. And he gave you the voice that he wants you to have in the community, wherever you are in the community. So God says, you're already good enough. Now just come follow me. Accept my forgiveness, accept my grace, and come follow me. I want to kind of throw out there as an invitation this morning to find ways that you can better serve Jesus, but more importantly, find the things in your life. And maybe you need to have a sit down with the Holy Spirit this week. Find the things in your life, or ask God to reveal the things in your life that are coming between you and furthering your relationship with him. That's what you were created for, nothing else. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. That's why he created you. He did not create you to watch you play football. He did not create you to watch you be an amazing salesman. He did not create you to watch you be a wonderful nurse or mechanic. He gave you those gifts and talents. But he created you to have a relationship with you and to love you. And we allow things in our life to hinder that and to muddy that. And he gave us time here on earth to practice it so that we can have an eternity with him in his presence, worshiping him, serving him, loving him day and night forever. So what a word of encouragement this morning. First of all, that we're good enough. But second of all, that God is a God of second chances all the time. And he gives us the ability through the Holy Spirit to remove things from our life that hinder us from having a relationship with him. So if you need to do any of that this morning, if you just need to come before a holy God this morning and pray, we will pray with you and ask God to remove something from your life. Or if you just for the very first time need to accept the gift of salvation and accept the forgiveness and grace that Jesus offers you because of the power of his blood that was spilled at Calvary and because of his power over the grave when he rose from the dead. If you need to accept that this morning, we invite you to come forward too and accept that gift of grace and talk about being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the rest of us, like I said, let's sing about how God is good. And let's practice this week of showing the world how good our God is. Please stand. Let's sing. We're going to sing, God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus. Jesus is real. He's so good to me.
Amen. You can remain standing. I didn't get any cards, but we do have some prayer concerns. Joanna Donner's not here because she's getting prepared for a lot of tests on Wednesday, so they did a COVID test and then got her quarantined at home just to make sure there's no issues and nothing that'll get in the way of her having her tests, pre-test for surgery. So be lifting her up and Bob as well. Joe has not gotten any results back from some of his blood work and things, so we're hoping that they will get him some results. He's going to get after them too, which I reminded Joanna. You kind of have to do that these days, don't you? You kind of have to hound sometimes to get results on your health. Of course, Paula Morrison. I hadn't heard anything back if she had her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievably, some nuts and screws have come loose, and some of them are poking in and very bizarre. They're going to go in and fix all that, and stretch her son. Yeah. John was going to go to Florida this week. Paula told him not to yet because they're not doing a whole lot. She's not losing any more weight, thankfully. Mm.
That camera? You mean the camera scope? Okay, I hadn't heard back on that. Oh, I praise God for that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll continue to lift Paul up. While you're talking about surgery and screws loosening up, my brother's, his two lower screws and all of his back work it is loosened, and so he's really not doing a whole lot better. So continue to pray for him, please. And Larry, I haven't heard anything on your foot. Where are we at? Okay. Surgery the 10th or 11th? Okay. All right. Well, keep us posted on that. We want to continue to... No, I'll leave that alone. And then, of course... continue to lift Sheila up. She's at Eastern Star doing rehab, and they said that she's up with a cane a little bit now, so that is good news, because when she is able to be a little more mobile, she gets to come home, so that's all good. In fact, I'm going to finish up with that after prayer. I'm going to address that very thing. Thank you, Joel. Okay. Of course, our regular shut-ins, and of course, Jim Maddox, Ernie, Tingley's, Westbrook's, so continue to lift them up or send cards or call, whatever. So keep them in your prayers, please. Anything else? Yes, Belinda. Well, that's good. Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Okay, anything else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day of life, and we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for the great weather we've enjoyed. Thank you for the rain this past week. We thank you for our church family and all that they mean to us. Lord, we've shared the different concerns of the people in our church that we lift up to you in prayer. We would ask you to be with each and every one of those situations. And Lord, please put it on our hearts to reach out and contact our different folks to let them know that we're thinking about them and praying for them. Lord, I also just lift up our nation with just hard to believe a lot of the hate that's been shown. And I just pray that we can turn hearts and turn people back to you and away from some of the horrible things that we're living through right now. Lord, it's hard for us to fathom, but we know you're in control, and we just continue to reach out to you for comfort. But please remind us if we can do something to help others, and maybe to talk more about positive things. We just thank you for the blessings that you give us. We thank you for another day of life. Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one here and those that are not with us and are shut-ins. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings of life you give us. In Christ's precious name, amen. Okay. Giggles. Of course, you should have all gotten your insert in the bulletin this morning for the surprise baby shower for Kendra's first granddaughter. We can call her Grandma after that, after the baby comes. That's cool. So, and please bring a friend. We just would love to really show our love from the church to Kendra's her gal that is going to be having a baby, her grandbaby. So we want to show our love to the church. So please bring as many guests as you can for that. Team meeting for finance meeting is Wednesday, 6:30. Warren, you're going to be able to be there. We got to check on you. You available Wednesday? Get that? Okay, good. He's got a crazy schedule. And church picnic, as we talked earlier, is at Jonathan's on the 20th coming up. Our entire church service will be there. I've got new pictures on the back picture board from the back-to-school party at John Morrison's, so enjoy those pictures back there. And then last but not least, those that have something to write on, would you, if you don't have Sheila's phone number, can I give it to you right now? I'd really like for somebody each day this week to give her a call, and I can start out, I'll start today, and I can give her a call today. I called her last Sunday, and she really, really was tickled about the call. So if you don't have her number, let me give you Sheila's cell phone number, because she would love to get a call from you. Do that for me. Thank you back there. How about Tuesday? Okay, we've got Tuesday. How about Wednesday? Somebody want to commit to call Sheila on Wednesday? Thank you, Belinda. How about Thursday? Anybody else? All right, there you go. Okay. And yes. Yes. Well, I think a call too we can encourage. Yeah, okay. Well, at least she's up a little bit too, so it'll come. She's pretty determined, so I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for those that volunteered to give her a call and maybe lift her up. Okay, anything else? Any other announcements before we sing our closing chorus? Hope you have a good afternoon. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, hallelujah, Jesus is mine.